Hey, the Get This podcast is brought to you by ProPhotoGo.com, professional photography on demand. Use coupon code GETTHIS to get 10% off your professional photo session. So whether you need new headshots, you have a big event coming up, or you just don't want to look so silly on social media, you need some new photos, go to ProPhotoGo.com and use coupon code GETTHIS. Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Kautzman. Welcome to Get This, the podcast about things people love. It's a brand new podcast. This is episode uno, one, the first podcast of the show. I'm so excited because it's January 29th, 2018, 19, 2019,
2019.
It's still January, 19. So I get away with it. You know, the world around us is falling apart. Everything is very negative, it feels, a lot of the time. And this is a podcast about the things people love. So the goal here is for me to interview guests in my studio in Washington Heights in New York City or by Skype. And people share something with me that they love. It's a piece of media, it's a video, it's a book, something they're excited about. And we use that as a means to start a discussion. I get to know the person, and through that, hopefully you get to know the person too. Simple concept. I couldn't be more excited. It's getthispodcast.com. How easy is that to remember? Pretty easy, right, Jose?
Pretty easy. What are you saying? Sorry?
Getthispodcast.com.
Getthispodcast.com.
That's easy, right? And you can find it on iTunes and all the usual shenanigans. And I'm here with my good friend, Jose Ignacio Gomez. Yeah, I went for the Spanish pronunciation. I did my
Ignacio.
Best. Yeah, Ignacio.
No Z.
Very good. Very good. I did my best. He's a very talented actor here in New York and a native of Venezuela. And as anybody who isn't living under a rock is aware, there's a lot happening in Venezuela. And Jose was gracious enough to share a video by a comedian. And we'll put that in the show notes. You can watch it. Tell me about this comedian.
You know, I just know about her through Facebook because she posts a lot of stuff in there, and a lot of people share everything she does. Well, she's definitely funny, but serious and very smart when it comes to these kind of subjects that we're gonna comment about today.
And like I said, we'll share this video in the show notes. The idea, the idea is, Jose, I think today are principally going to talk about Venezuela and the state of affairs, but we're looking for a means to get into it. Mm-hmm. So I'm poking around here now on Twitter. I think I retweeted it earlier today.
I sent it to you on Facebook.
Yeah. So. What is her comedy normally about? This is Joanna Hausman.
Yeah, she kind of like make jokes about misconceptions about Latin people and how people misunderstand sometimes since things we say because our pronunciation or situations that, I don't know, people assume that we have to react in certain ways because we're Latins, want a party, or that's it, that we don't care about anything else. You're Latin, yeah, Roomba. You know, I mean, it's like,
why are Latins so extraordinary at dancing? What is the deal? I mean, that's a stereotype, right? But I mean,
it can be, but I don't know. It's just we have a different life, a dancing style. There's a lot of good dancers here too, but it's not the same. Like in Venezuela, when you're growing up, for example, in Venezuela and in the Caribbean, you have to dance if you want to get a date, no matter what gender or orientation you have. You know, you need to dance.
My God, as like a nerdy kind of writer, white guy, coder. Yeah, I don't. In fact, it's better if I don't dance.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I'm mostly in my youth, in my teenagers, I was very much a rock and roll guy. I started playing guitar for a long time. But anyway, I needed to dance merengue in a party because, you know, otherwise how do you approach a girl and then they start a conversation. So, and mostly when you're very shy and all these Venezuelan women are so beautiful and so smart and, you know, way more, you know, advanced than any of us. So you need to, you know, you need to have your move.
Right. You got to be able to show them you got what it takes. I guess the equivalent for me growing up in North Dakota would have been like a car. You know, oh, I have a car. I guess I'm, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that definitely helped
temporary mate. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Well, so let's mention again by name this woman whose video you shared.
Yeah, Joanna Hausman. Well, the thing is that I was looking for a video to share or anything, and that just popped up today, yesterday night, I think it was, and I sent it to Kevin. Because she explains, you know, in a 5 minutes very well what's going on exactly, because there's a lot of misconception of what's going on right now in Venezuela. And a lot of people from left or right, they're like taking sizes, and the left are calling this a coup from the right wing, and the United States is taking over again and putting their hands into Latin America. And this is not the case at all. We've been in this fight for 20 years, since 1998 when Chavez was elected president, and, well, it's been the longest and more suffering 20 years of the Venezuelan history. And right now we finally find a way through the constitution to take over control of the country. And this is all legal, it's based on different articles on the constitution. I'm not a politician, I'm an actor. So whenever if I ever say anything wrong, you can just put, you know, your comments underneath or something.
Yeah, you know,
but
again,
I pretty much have the information, the basic stuff.
This is not principally a political podcast, but I think the idea is this is about things people love. And I think it's fair to say that you love your country. You
definitely,
love, you know,
yeah,
obviously
yeah, of course.
You have a lot of roots there. I found that video very intense. And this is a woman who is a comedian. First and foremost, and she's using her ability as a speaker here to make a point and to try and correct some of what she sees to be misinformation coming out. I mean, her quote on Twitter here is, "There is far too much misinformation and oversimplification about the situation in Venezuela." And if I'm not speaking out of turn, Jose, her point is that it's not about left or right at this juncture.
Definitely not. It's about human rights and all kind of crimes that have been committed to the Venezuelan people during all these years. Freedom of speech, we don't have it anymore, because most of the private channels and radio stations and newspapers have been closed by the government. People have been losing their properties because the government is being expropriating private real estate or properties or businesses or anything they want.
How long has that been going on? I mean,
it's been going progressively going since 1998, since it started kind of like digging in, they changed the constitution, they changed this, they start doing changes like that. And then eventually they start taking over and putting out the real face of themselves, which is dictatorship plus communist plus control by the Castros in Cuba and friends of all the enemies of the world, basically. You know, they're connected with narco traffic people, with the guerrillas in Colombia, with terrorists in the Middle East. So this is the worst people ever in Venezuela or in any country that you want to have in the government.
Yeah, and what I understand is that there's, in terms of, I guess, geography or geopolitics and natural resources, there's no reason for this. There's the largest oil supply or oil reserves in the world exist. Mm-hmm. Is it off the coast of Venezuela?
Or it's pretty much in all over the territory. Mostly in the Lake Maracaibo and then the state of Bolivar. But then we have, it's like, well, we have this joke since we were, or well, that's why Venezuelans used grow up saying that you just dig a hole and you find oil anywhere, and it's pretty much like that. Of course, there's like main regions, like I said, Lake Maracaibo, and then those are the ones that come to my mind, and Orinoco River, and then the Delta Amacuro is another region close to the east side, well, east side coast.
And so we were joking earlier about, you know, these Latin stereotypes, and, you know, joking aside, and I don't mean this to sound confrontational, but what is it about the culture of Venezuela or Latin America where, and I'm not, and I'm coming at from the United States where we have our own problems. So I'm not sitting in judgment. I just want to understand the culture. You keep using this word in our private conversations, corruption. Mm-hmm. And my understanding of this last election, again, per this video that we watched, that you shared with me, is that only 20% of the population voted, and a number of those people were government employees who were forced to vote.
Yeah,
they were, and there was no standing opposition in the vote. Mm-hmm. So the vote is considered invalid by the majority of the Venezuelan people.
Yeah, and on top of that, the elections were supposed to happen in the at the end of the of last year in 2018, and then they changed the dates to, I think it was May, when they elected again Maduro. Well, which is not true. And then on top of that, also the people in charge of the elections in Venezuela is controlled by the government. All of the powers in Venezuela are controlled by the government. And the only chance we have was in 2015, when the opposition finally beat them through elections, and we won back the assembly by 90% of the assembly was part of the opposition.
And when the assembly would be the equivalent of
the House
of Representatives.
The House of Representatives.
Yeah, sure.
So what happened then is that not conformed, you know, the Maduro's regime not conformed with this, they decided to create a new assembly and a new, like, that's the way she put it, very smart way. She compared it with the House of Representatives. So imagine in the U.S., you know, everybody, right now the Democrats won the House back, and then but then Trump decide right now not to accept that, and then create a new House, and then this house he's gonna put all the people that are gonna value only the things he wants, and then eventually create a new Supreme Court, and then, you know, take control of all the government, and then make the laws they want, and put in jail whoever opposed them, and do whatever they want.
And is this because the military backs them, and then it just becomes kind of a quasi-dictatorship?
Yeah, is all of the bad things you can have in a government, that's what this regime is. It's not only corrupted, it's involved with narco traffic. Two of the closest, the stepson of the first lady and his kind of brother. These kids were like, I think they're between 27 and 32 years. They are in jail in the United States, in prison, because they were trying to smuggle 900 kilos of cocaine.
Jesus.
Yeah, out wow. of the...
At least our corrupt leaders already have all the money they need.
I mean, they always want more. That's the problem.
Right, of course. Yeah, it never ends, does it?
Yeah, but in Venezuela,
we just elect our
monsters. Yeah, we have our history before Chavez, and then Chavez didn't appear out of nowhere. The problem is that when we get back our democracy after 1958, we have our last, before this one, our last dictatorship government, then Democrats took over. But then eventually they didn't, you know, they became greedy. They, you know, they became making a lot of mistakes, forgetting about the real needs of the people. And then the poor population started growing up. And they didn't invest in the education, and they didn't invest in, you know, in the basic needs. And then people started getting angry, and then finally they...
Well, and now these rates of inflation, what she said in her video, apparently is that a day's minimum wage won't buy you two eggs, something like that.
Well, no, exactly. No, it's bad. I think the minimum salary, not talking about minimum wage, is 3 to $4 a month.
Oh.
It's not, you know, an hour. It's a month.
Whoa.
And with that, you cannot buy anything.
Well, okay, so let's zoom out here. And so presently, the president of Venezuela was this cat, Maduro, correct? But he's been supplanted by this interim president who's younger than I am by a year. What's his name now?
Juan Guaido, the president of Venezuela right now.
He's the interim president.
Interim president, yeah.
Yeah. And now let's pause for a second and talk about the perception that some people have that this is an American coup. So what do you make of all that? As a native Venezuelan, somebody was standing, you're living in the United States, you have family back in Venezuela, you've got roots in Venezuela.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Lived till my born and raised till I was 26 and a half years, and then I moved to the States. But first I want to finish with what I was saying before, is that's why, you know, all of these governments from the Fourth Republic, the way we call it, all of these governments didn't take care of the population, the people in Venezuela, and then Chavez came out of nowhere with his sword and promising, you know, he's gonna revenge and end corruption and all of this.
He was a populist leftist leader.
He was a populist. He actually did a coup. The way we know Chavez is that he did a coup in 1991 or 92. I don't remember exactly the year. Against Carlos Andrés Pérez, or maybe around that time, probably before. I don't remember these dates very
well. I'll look it up. We'll look up when the coup happened.
But anyway, that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to search for these facts on the internet. That is, I mean, the main point is that he comes from doing a coup against the government, and then he went to jail. In jail, they kind of like connected with all the lefties and the press and a lot of people, and people kind of like started supporting his movement.
It was 92.
And 92, exactly. So I wasn't that bad. So they finally, this president, Rafael Calderas, released him from jail, like giving him a pardon. And eventually he started, you know, with his movement. And I remember, like, literally, you know, like, that's why you have to be careful. It can start with a little thing. I remember one time, who is this crazy guy talking in this tree in the middle of Caracas with, like, 50 people around him? And that guy was Chavez. And, you know, it was a
confabulation. You saw that on TV, or you were walking to Starbucks?
Everybody was putting him on the news and stuff, and then with little things like that. And then he became so big. I mean, eventually, I think it was like 80% of the votes were for him
when
he won.
Well, this tyranny kind of creeps up on you, doesn't it? It's like you wake up one day and you're living under a regime that's leading you toward mass starvation. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be glib here, but are there Starbucks in Venezuela, or is it that is this
that,
is glib.
I don't know.
That's an important question.
But we have McDonald's and Wendy's, and what else we have? Pizza Hut.
All these American brands over there, but it's known for being a quote unquote socialist nation, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what Chavez was bringing in, his new idea of the socialism of the 21st century. But behind this socialism of the 21st century is...
Not your granddaddy's socialism.
No, it's not that socialism we all call it here in the U.S. Like, it got nothing to do with that. It's not the socialism that Switzerland or Denmark or countries like that can have. It's got nothing to do with that. This socialism shouldn't even be called that, because it's a dictatorship manipulated by the Castros in Cuba. And I'm gonna explain this, because what's been happening is that we have right now infiltrated. I think the numbers are always like changing every time I read in something, but it's like 100,000 Cubans in Venezuela, just Cubans, even including in the military. They came to the country passing by doctors or people that were gonna, professionals that were gonna help the economy or help the people in Venezuela, which is completely unnecessary because we got good doctors and good professionals and smart people in Venezuela. We don't need anything like that.
I think the Cubans can probably stay home and help themselves at this point, frankly.
Yeah. So on top of that, we also have the guerrilla from Colombia infiltrated, and now I hear like the terrorist group from Middle East are also infiltrating in our country, in our territory, supported by the regime. So, and I'm gonna go back to a little history too in my life. And I gotta say this, I was one of those 80% of people that voted for Chavez. I regret it, but I mean, a year after I knew this was a big mistake, and I ended up moving to the States for many different reasons. That's one was one of those. But my father also, he in the 70s, he was a communist. You know, it was kind of like that moment, you know, they were fighting for, you know, rights and a better world for everybody. It was that kind of moment. We were so blind about what the Cuban government was about, the Castro's regime.
And was it framed as Cuba and then Russia and I presume China and that kind of access the Americans? Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, basically that's the whole theme, you know, when you talk to people that support these kind of governments, this kind of dictatorships and communist and all of that, is that's what it is. It's just hate about the American capitalist system and how repressed. I mean, America is not innocent, and country is innocent anymore.
You can pull a long litany of things. Yeah,
every
United
country
States
has their CIA own faults. But the problem is when we forget that it's not the government, it's not the country, it's the people in the end, in every nation, that is suffering for the greedy in different ways. Even the ideal is greedy, or the imposition of some people ideals. And they kind of like lose themselves into this mind of changing the world, and they become even worse than the worst stream right. For me, the left and the right, when it comes to that stream, they are so similar because their actions are pretty much the same. They only want money for themselves, getting rich and rich, steal all the money from their countries, change their rules so they can get more and more and more and support whatever they want. But
an authoritarian is an authoritarian. Yeah. I don't care whether it's an SS officer or somebody from Stalin's army. If there's a boot on my child's throat or on my own throat, I really don't care. You know, what matters at the end is something like liberty and, you know, the sovereignty of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to get on my soapbox, but coming from that video that we watched from the comedian, I really took that to heart. She's trying to drive home that, and Americans are so narcissistic. Our news is makes us so. We're myopic, if not narcissistic. We're trained to think in this binary. It's zero or one. It's left or right. Left or right. March, left, right, march.
It's awful. It's awful.
And it's 2-year cycles, 4-year cycles, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so now we can only think about the politics of a foreign country with that same programming. Mm-hmm. People don't even realize that they've been brainwashed. Mm-hmm. And this comedian is saying, we're way beyond left or right here. We are into some next level stuff. And I appreciate that. And I'm glad to have you on this podcast about the things that people love. Because I know that you're, you know, we're pals on the side here, and this has come up a lot. And you're the person from Venezuela I know better than anyone. So I just figured, wow, we got to use this opportunity to talk about some real shit.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's a lot of divisions right now in this country, and a lot of conflicts. And in going back to the U.S., talking to the U.S. right now.
But everything doesn't split down that neat line, does it?
Yeah, yeah. When I see all these divisions happening in the U.S., it's so sad because all of us are Americans, and we're an American citizen too. Like I think I mentioned that before, And I came here to this country because I always knew this country was great. It was great for me. And I don't know whether when they are talking that we need to make it great again. For me, it's like it being great all the time.
Well,
that's why I'm here.
It's a political slogan.
Bullshit.
So for anyone who's wondering, there does not appear to be a Starbucks in Venezuela. So if you're one of these people who's like, oh, God, is there a Starbucks there? You could still go.
In the worst scenario you can find very slow basic Wi-Fi, but you can find it.
I'm pretty sure there's internet. Yeah. Well, you know, and this is another thing that seems shameful to me, that like it would seem to me that this is a long coastline that I'm looking at here on Google Maps.
We and pretty much have like
It's probably as much coastline as California, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's very strategic Venezuela. On top of the oil we have the biggest north side of the coast of South America. On the north side of South America is the biggest coast on the Caribbean.
Yeah, it just seems to me like, it's so strange. Mm-hmm. I understand that there are enormous problems and enormous economic challenges, and there is the history of American, I can't remember the name of it, but there was a policy where sort of like this hemisphere is ours, is sort of the American strategy around this stuff. And so that there were a lot of, you know, dirty wars and interventions, and the CIA, you know, set up a number of puppets and all the rest. And I think it's sensible for the left to kind of have a reaction right now, the hard left, and to say, oh, this is a coup. But, you know, and I want to hear the other side as well. So, I mean, and we may not get it on this podcast because of, you know, you're kind of enmeshed in it. I encourage anybody to, you know, go do your research and try different outlets. But I don't understand why with those oil reserves and all the rest, in 10, 15 years, you know, I mean, hopefully things turn around. I mean, what's it going to take? So let's bring it forward to what I was talking about before. Mm-hmm. So we have this new cat, Guaido, and he's he's doing some merengue. All due respect, and he's the interim president, and he's being acknowledged by countries around the world, not just the United States. I mean, and there's an element right now of like anybody who Trump supports, mm-hmm. there's a group in the United States that's going to say, well, this is what is this? Mm-hmm. But he's being supported by other countries as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like the first thing you hear is like, oh, the United States put in his dirty hands again in Latin America. But it's not true. We've been fighting for 20 years to get rid of this government. We finally have the way through the Constitution to get back the power, have the new president Guaido on top. And people started calling this a coup, and it's not a coup. And many other countries around the world are supporting this president Guaido. One of the last ones before the first backing up is actually being the United States. But the important thing about the United States is that they can control a lot of most of the financial money that we get from the oil in Venezuela. But the problem is that if that money go to the wrong hands, which has been happening for the last 20 years, then that money is not gonna be used to help the people and solve the problem. It's gonna be like the regime has been doing, to pay extremists, to giving free oil to Cuba, you know, so they can support the regime. And that's why what they've been
doing
all this time.
That the Bank of England denied
$1.2 billion in gold.
Can you imagine
the Venezuelan
What's the previous president's name again?
Maduro.
Yeah. So Maduro goes to the Bank of England and is like, I need that. I need to, you know, it's like you go up and you're like, you got $800 and you're going to go to Las Vegas. Okay, give me some cash. And your bank is like, you only get 400 at a time. They're like, no, you get none of your gold. none of your gold. $1.2 billion
just
worth
a little
of gold.
Bit, you know?
Oh my God! Wait, you know, and,
but I mean, that's why all these guy do. I mean, but this is not new. Chavez being
why would you why would
hiding.
You hold all of that gold? Yeah. I guess I'm sure there are risks to holding it yourself.
Yeah, Chavez
I suppose.
Been hiding money in with Cristina Kirchner in Argentina. Gold. There's gold from Venezuela that's been hidden in Argentina.
Unreal.
You know, in between Chavez and Cristina Kirchner.
And so, yeah,
so we
so
don't
this
know
is
what's
not
gonna
just
happen
the United
with that gold.
States. There's,
oh, no,
there's
no,
turmoil and so it's the Bank of England or whatnot.
No, no, and in the worst scenario, the United States like doesn't really need Venezuelan oil. It's just to tell the truth.
I believe the United States, I think we're now definitely net exporting, and I think we may be the biggest producer in the world now.
Well, that might be truth. And then and the ironical follow of this is that in Venezuela we're actually buying gas from the United States, gasoline. Because we're not even producing that over there.
It's because we can refine it. I mean, we have,
So can you imagine a rich country that, like Venezuela, you know, with all these resources, we don't have the, you know, the capacity of have our own gas and you know, we need to buy gas right now from the United States.
So yeah, we are the world's when I say we, I mean the United States of America. Are the world's largest producer of crude as of this year, 2019.
Well, there
yeah.
you go.
I mean, so it's very interesting, you know, but again, so now it does sort of beg the question. You can think of it like a leftist, like a hardcore leftist, and go, oh, you know, the United States is meddling again, and they're now, you know, 10 years from now, they're going to be Starbucks peppered all over that Google map, and oh my God, you know, and here we go. But at the same time, people are starving, right?
The situation is devastating. Like, not only starving, they're scratching from
women
the trash
are,
to find
are,
food.
Women are prostituting themselves over the border.
Yeah,
correct?
I mean, all of that happening, all of this crisis. Yeah, of course, people need to make money no matter what, to support their family, to support themselves, to buy medicines for their family, to you know, survive.
Right. So, and this idea that it's some sort of, you know, evil if the United States, and believe me, I'm no huge fan of, you know, the oil companies and all of this, but at the same time, you have to be something of a realist, and you kind of go, okay, well, maybe we can get some oil production going, and somebody's got to take over, and I wonder what is the answer. I mean, so now you have this new interim president. You're going to hold elections. Presumably, he'll run. And potentially win, or someone else will win. And then what, and maybe I'm getting ahead of things, but like, what's the direction for the country?
I'm sorry, say the last part again?
Oh, I'm saying, what if things go, okay, so let's imagine a scenario where everything goes well.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see Venezuela in 10, 15 years? I mean, is it oil? Is it, you know, state healthcare? Or do you go into a free market direction? That's kind of the question that everybody wants.
Well, I mean, I think the opposition and the people that are taking control of the government and the country, we're getting the country back into Venezuelan people now. So we've been thinking about all of this. I'm failing and trying to, you know, failing and trying to make things better. And we've been planning all of this for a long time. So I'm really positive and that all of the people right now that are going to be in charge, they know what they're doing. You know, they've been thinking about it for many, many, many years and failed many times. So this is the moment where we believe in a free economy and I don't think in a stream capitalism or anything like that, but, you know, just try to make it fair for everybody, basically. You know?
Yeah, it's so interesting to watch.
The first thing coming to really be concerned about is that we need to take care of the basic things. Like, people are dying because
Absolutely.
They don't have food. They cannot afford medicines. You cannot even find aspirin or basic stuff like that. Or even, well, there was a period where you couldn't even find toilet paper. So it's ridiculous. So And the kids are dying in hospitals, just being born. Terrible. And you know they put in sometimes in shoe boxes, whatever they find
and,
around.
And you know what? I'm gonna tell you that I'm sorry for taking.
And
it
there's
to this
images
oil
of these in the internet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. You're right. I've consumed a fair amount of media around this, and Americans, we do tend to sort of go immediately to like oil, because I think in our minds we go, okay, if we can just figure out how to get this working, then everything else will solve itself. But you're right, it won't. I wonder, I mean, it there are people suffering right now, so I think it's worth just pausing and reflecting on the tragedy of that. Mm-hmm. You know, the year is 2019, and we have people, you know, how much of a flight would it be from New York? How long? 6 hours? 7 hours?
Yeah, from New York to Caracas, I think it's like 4.5 hours, I think it is.
Right. Uh-huh. It's just an absurd scenario. It's mm-hmm. it's, you know, and it obviously it's mismanagement, and the nation has made, not even the nation, just the leadership has made poor choices mm-hmm. and justified it. And there, you know, you'd like to think that there would be a period of justice. I'm not suggesting mob justice or that mm-hmm. you would, you know, string people up, but there, at the very least, you would think, wow, some people are going to have to answer for this. Is that the direction?
Oh, definitely.
It's going?
Yeah, definitely. That has to happen. And you know, we're calling an amnesty, because there's a lot of people in the military and in political positions that, you know, or consulates and in the embassies, you know, around the world, that we need to create an amnesty to tell these people, okay, if you haven't done anything, just because you were working for the government, you know, you're not going to be in trouble. Because that's a way to tell these people to react and open themselves and back up the new president Guaido.
And right, I mean, you have this whole class of bureaucrats and politicians, especially in a country that's as socialist as that are going to be loyal to the I guess the opposed guy.
Exactly.
And then, that creates a lot of problems. It's very, mm-hmm. very tricky.
Yeah, and then the most important thing is that President Guaido comes from a military family. I think his grandfather and his grandfather's brother or something like that were in the military, and this is very important because the military needs somebody to trust right now, because they're very divided, but not so much divided lately, because all of them are, whoever is in the military in Venezuela is suffering from the same struggles of the civilians, because in the end they're affected with it, because they're married to people, you know, that they're civilians. They're not, everybody's in the military, so everybody's going through the same kind of situation. No finding medicine, food. They cannot pay for their kids to go to school, to buy their books, or I mean, it's everything is collapsed. So what President Guaido is bringing in. And this is all being very well planned by certain heads of the opposition, and they were moving the pawns, the pieces exactly, the right pieces at the right moment, and it's a beautiful strategy, and everything that is happening right now is giving us a lot of hope, because it feels, and you can see that it's very well planned. The fact that we have Guaido right now, the president, means a lot. It's a guy that comes from the military, and he knows how to put everything together and negotiate. And this is very important right now.
And this Guaido character was part of the Congress or the Assembly,
and
whatever it is.
Yeah, and ironically too, like, people are calling this a coup, and it's something that the far right are taking over Venezuela and the hands of America. All of these BS, and then the truth is that Guaido comes from a center-left popular party. So
yeah, right. And has there been violence? I mean, has anybody...
Well, and then, of course, yeah, there's been violence, but not from the opposition. The violence always been coming from the government, from the government of Maduro, the regime. But I don't want to call it a government anymore, but the government is the government of Venezuela, is Guaido right now.
Well, so there you go. So it's not by definition a coup. Mm-hmm. So a coup... Yeah. And this is where we get into the wonderful mm-hmm. doublespeak that, you know, is so prevalent in media. A coup, defined, is a sudden, violent, and illegal seizure of power from a government. So it doesn't sound like, you know, I don't think civilians can can execute a queue, coup unless they're using military weapons
exactly,
and things.
So,
and I'm not saying civilians did this, but it sounds like it might have been sudden. Was it sudden?
Sudden, like
the actions to overthrow Maduro.
No, it's been a very beautiful, peaceful,
methodical.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing riots and march and millions of people.
Well, when you say you say riot, that suggests
riots. I'm sorry. Yeah, riots is it's a different word in English. I mean, that it's definitely, I know what it is. But
you mean confused. Like marches and things.
Well, we were marching peacefully for years and years, and what happened on January 23rd. This January 23rd is that around the country, the main cities, the towns, everybody went out to the streets and marched peacefully. I think it's one of the most beautiful things I've seen politically wise from a country. And not only in Venezuela, around the world, because we have 5 million Venezuelans living in different places around the world. I was in New York City in Central Park South, where the statue of the liberator, Simon Bolivar, is. And we were maybe, let's say, 1,000 there, Venezuelans.
Wow, that's incredible.
You know, just with our flags and, you know, with our hearts out. And
you know, the word is diaspora. That's a diaspora. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and I've met, I'm not going to name a name here, but I've met, you know, somebody who's here illegally, mm-hmm. you know, quote unquote, undocumented.
Yeah.
And, you know, the United States has to take notice. Mm-hmm. Americans are so isolationist, and we're raised to be that way. We speak mm-hmm. the one language, not, I'm not saying everybody, of mm-hmm. course, but I mean, there's this broad kind of middle, and you know, a lot of people never leave the country, and we certainly don't think about this hemisphere as having mm-hmm. a special dynamic, but it absolutely does. And you have in the consciousness right now on the left and the right, finally an agreement that we're going to quote unquote build a wall, and that agreement is happening. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the terms are, you know, border security is front of mind. And so I think there's a certain attitude of like in the United States of just shut the door. Mm-hmm. Let's call it the front door. We're going to shut the front door and we're going to forget about what's happening outside mm-hmm. right now in the United States. And here we have this incredible case, you know, not on our border, but not that far away either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, I mean, we're living through history right now, and it's very, very real.
And then even what was happening recently right now with the government shutdown in the United States is like in the United States.
I think we're working. I think it's back up.
Yeah, but
temporarily.
But the experience is that democracy, as powerful as it can be, is very fragile. It's like a love relationship. You need to take care of it, nurture it. You know, protect it, because anything can damage it.
No, just let it go. You know, just buy flowers once a year.
Take her
on a trip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know.
Getting ready for my second divorce. You know.
Yeah, it's getting some candies on February 14th.
Really, that's a joke.
No, really. Like, it's that we were just experiencing that right now with the shutdowns. Like, with 35 days of shutdown, and then what happened is like LaGuardia Airport was collapsed one day, and then this is not good.
Okay,
this is not helping at all.
In fairness, LaGuardia has shutdowns like that all the time. I wouldn't blame the federal government. LaGuardia is, if you can fly into or out of a place in New York City, may I recommend Newark? It's not even technically in New York City.
One of the things that was like getting crazy in the country. Of course.
I mean, yeah, right. Who are we to talk? And, you know, so this is another thing. I think Americans, this is not an apology for Trump, but one thing as a sort of, you zoom out a little bit and you watch what's happening. We can no longer deny who we are. And that is sort of a positive thing. Mm-hmm. And it's driving people insane.
Yeah.
And there is something charming about that. Charming is the wrong word. There's something potentially cathartic and valuable in having to confront your darkest impulses. And as a nation, I feel like we're going through a test. The test in Venezuela right now is, to my ears, even more acute. You're enduring a collapse. What mm-hmm. what's the rate of inflation?
The numbers that Johanna is mentioning in there, and it's like last year was like 1 million 200,000%, and they're calculating this year was going to raise till 10,000,000%. So imagine. Like, let's put it this way. When I left Venezuela, I sold my car and I got $3,000 for it. I get 1 million bolivares from my dad. I don't remember exactly how much was a dollar in that moment, probably 170 or 500, something like that. But anyway, well, we can make the calculation right now, in a way. So, but anyway, right now, with 4 million bolivares, you can probably, or 3,000, well, in that moment, I think I sold it for 4 million bolivares, I said. It was like maybe, right now you can buy like a bottle of scotch, maybe.
Wait. So you're telling me that for a car, I could get a bottle of scotch?
Yeah, I mean, if you compare.
Done.
Something like that.
Yeah, outstanding.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Uh-huh. I want to break this down again because people in the United States are accusing being a coup. And I'm just asking, was it sudden? No. Mm-hmm. Was it violent? No.
No.
Not largely. Not in like a militaristic sort of way. You know, nobody stormed a building. And illegal. Was it illegal?
No, it was completely within the Constitution. What Guaido has been doing is in the Constitution.
Okay, so, you know, let's use words the way that they're intended. So I'm hearing from my friend Jose, not a coup. I'm hearing from this comedian. Tell me her name again.
Johanna
Hausmann.
Hausmann.
Not a coup. So for what it's worth, I'm hearing not a coup from a couple of Venezuelans. You know, we'll keep, let's keep looking around online and, you know, you got to do your own math on this stuff, let's say. Jose, where can people find you? Are you on the social medias if anybody wants to connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, I reopened my Facebook after 3 years. So you can find me on Facebook. It's Jose Ignacio Gomez. JoseIgnacioGomBz.
I'll put it in the show notes. And this is at getthispodcast.com. I would personally encourage you, like, you know, if you have ideas about Venezuela or thoughts about it, I think reach out to Jose. There's no harm in that. If you're a Venezuelan living in New York.
Yeah, I'm going to say is speak from my heart and my experience. Like every other Venezuelan, part of the diaspora or the people that left our country and to find a better life. And so, but you know, we still have family there, we still have friends, and people are dispersed and everywhere where we have been suffering from all of this. And this is the first time that I feel like a little release and peace in my body and my mind and my soul after 20 years of all this tragic nightmare. But going back to the thing of the coup, is like, it's very important to say it's not a coup, because a coup have to be back up with the military, and the people in control of the military is Maduro's regime. And then, well said, what one of my best friends, he said, well, if you don't believe me, you could hear the head of the military in my country saying "Go Chavez," or "Viva Chavez," a day before January 23rd on the media. So can you imagine that, you know, the how do you call it here? The Department of Defense,
the DOD?
Like, no, the head of the Department of Defense.
I have no idea.
Yeah. In the US, how you call the...
like a general?
Yeah, the head of the Department of Defense.
Secretary of Defense?
The Secretary of Defense. Sorry.
No, please. I'm the one who couldn't rattle it off. I've lived here since
Can you imagine the Secretary of Defense here, like, we are backing up Trump and everything. Go Trump, no matter what.
Yeah.
No, super inappropriate.
No, completely super inappropriate.
So that's the proof that, you know, the military is being controlled from the regime. So we've been fighting peacefully on the streets where our signs, where, you know, our hearts, where our minds, where our, you know, our words. Millions of people have been fighting for this, and a lot of people have been repressed, putting in jail, tortured, killed by the regime. So this is not like you know, when some extreme leftist people are calling this and that, or they're, you know, I don't care. We don't care about this. It's not right or left.
The word coup, and again, I don't know. You know, I don't know the other side of this, but the word coup provokes all these ideas about like the CIA backing something up. And from what I'm hearing, mm-hmm. it's not that. But I don't want to spread misinformation. So again, I encourage everybody who cares about this to do a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. Jose, I want to ask you a few more questions. What could like an American, you know, just an average American person mm-hmm. who, you know, maybe they like Starbucks, maybe they don't, you know, what can they do? What could we do uh-huh. right now? Is there anything like a fund or like something where you can get money into the hands of people who are struggling down there? That's one thing that seems to me yeah. to be absent.
You know, yeah. You know, well, right now the U.S. is actually giving $20 million just with like... To bring medicines and basic things that people need right away in this kind of emergencies, we are being ensured that through President Guaido who this money and these resources are gonna get in the right hands finally, because the U.S. has been offering many times help to the people in Venezuela, but the regime is being cutting them off and then pushing them away, not accepting this, which is another crime. That we've been violating human rights through the regime so many times.
It's so interesting. I haven't heard a single thing in the media. Maybe it's what I'm consuming, but not a single sort of means to support. And I think it's just because everything is in turmoil. There's no order in, mm-hmm. in anything. And it sounds like what y'all need, whatever it looks like, is some sort of stability where the currency can be recalibrated mm-hmm. and things can get back to something like normalcy.
Yeah,
right?
I don't understand that much about economy, but in my opinion and in my experience, you know, or the things that I have seen, I mean, as soon as you get rid of the, you know, all of these guys, you know, a lot of people are, you know, it's a beautiful country with a lot of resources. A lot of people are going to invest back and the money is going to go to the right hands. Because the problem is that the regime is being using all of the money from the oil and from the gold and all of the money that is being in hands of the regime, they have been using it for their own satisfaction, buying real estates around the world in Dubai and stealing all the money. And on top of that, supporting Cuba, Middle East terrorists, the guerrillas, and also paying to many other countries and governments to support them, their politics. And so they can stay in power forever, basically, because that's the reason. On top of that, it's not like the regime is not like a government. Oh, okay, we're in 6 years, because every 6 years they switch the period in Venezuela. Every 6 years are new elections, but they've been there forever, for 20 years. So would you imagine, like, okay, Trump or whoever is the next president is going to stay here for 20 years and they can keep going and going and going and going?
Right, no, it'd be terrible. So it sounds like as of Tuesday, January 29th, there are financial sanctions against Maduro mm-hmm. and his regime. Mm-hmm. And this is going to start to have an effect because the military is ostensibly still mm-hmm. recognizing him. That's what I'm reading.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then but we're reading both together right now. So
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. So I'm just going to read from the Financial Times. This is pretty recent. So this is current again as of January 29th. They're saying Juan Guaido drove from Caracas to the Venezuelan coast. Hooded men stopped his car, dragged him out at gunpoint, and bundled him into the back of an SUV.
That happened before he was sweared in front of the...
So this has already happened. Yeah. So they're telling the story.
Yeah, that happened maybe like 2 weeks ago. They were driving him. He was driving down. Then they stopped all the traffic on the highway, and they knew he was there. And there's like this secret, like the secret police in Venezuela, SEBIN. They stopped him and they drag him, take him out of his car and put him in another, like an SUV, and drove him over just to talk to him to see what was going on. I don't know exactly what kind of conversation they had in there.
Yeah, I would not like to have a black hood put on my head.
Yeah, but yeah. It seems to me... Oh, well, no, and there's another one too. It seems to me that first that conversation, I think it seems to me that Guaido kind of told them that, hey, I'm here to protect us all and get rid of this government and all of that. But then also, there's another video, of course, made by the government, insinuating, which we don't even know if it was right, real or not, insinuating that Guaido went to negotiate with one of the head of the regime, like wearing a hoodie. So in the camera, you cannot see if it's Guaido or not.
Yeah, yeah. So they're trying to what?
Portray yeah, they're trying to, you know, confuse the people and they saying, oh, this is guy that's going to create more problems. It's not serious. Yeah, you know, it's the same game of the
propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So it sounds like the direction it's taking right now is that there are going to be new elections.
That's the goal. Yeah, that's the goal. Like, call to new elections as soon as we can. But the main things we need to do first is just get the institutions back to the people and to the Venezuelan people. Take control of that. Help, you know, more, you know, bring all the humanitarian help that we can from other countries, including the U.S. And then when everything kind of like calm down more, then, you know, we were going to call elections.
Right. I mean, and when those elections come along, maybe we can have you back on the podcast sometime. I also want to have you back on and talk about, you know, a book, a movie, or a film or something. Maybe there's something that we can
You know
talk.
What? I mean, yeah. It's funny. I mean, I was sitting here. We're friends from the neighbor. Kevin is a good friend. And I think, Venezuela has been in my head for the last 3-4 weeks and even more right now, for like every Venezuelan has been like that. But definitely, I was thinking right now that we can just speak about Bohemian Rhapsody, which just changed the subject a lot.
Well, yeah,
it's just because it's been very controversial and the critiques and all, but I actually love the movie. And love Rami Malek performance, and that will be a good one.
Yeah,
too,
let's segue into talking about some of the stuff that we love. You love your country. I want to ask you a couple more things about Venezuela before we shift gears, and then let's talk about that for a few minutes.
I hope I make sense on all of this, and you understand everything I'm saying, because sometimes English is, it depends. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's a mess.
your English is far better than my Spanish or my German or my Latin.
All right.
So Venezuela. Mm-hmm. What are the best things about the country? You hear a lot of negative news, and Americans love negative news. Yeah, people love negative news about other places.
I think the best thing we have besides having all these resources and a beautiful country for tourism, for everything, is the Venezuelan spirit. Like, we're like the Venezuelan people are always like making fun of every situation as much as they can. It's like, for example, 2 weeks ago, I think I saw a video when people were saying that Trump was going to, well, you know, U.S. was going to back up Guaido as a president, then you see these like four guys from, I think they were from Maracaibo, is on the west side of the country. These guys are tend to be like big belly guys that drink a lot of beer and drink a lot. So they were like making fun. And then this guy was like standing like a military guy with like, you know, casual clothes. Saying, hey, Mr. Trump, we're here to tell you that if you back up Venezuela and get rid of Maduro, we're going to make that wall for you. We're going to paint it. We do, you know, stuff like that. Build your wall. We build your wall. So, you know, they were making fun like that. And that's kind of like the spirit of what it is. Like, where people like having, living the life, you know, living life and with no, too much. Our problem as a country is when we got greedy and blind by these excesses in life and wanted to have billions and billions and that. And that's what happened with the regime. They all got trapped in this game. But we're like sweet people that we're very family oriented, when I put it that way, open hearts. And we're very nice hosts. We love to take care of our for guests, you know, giving the best. So if you come to Venezuela, we're gonna treat you like, you know, we're gonna give you the best of us, the best food. We're gonna take you to the best places. I'm just gonna give you a good time, basically.
And I hope more than anything that in the very near future you're able to do that as a country. Yeah. I hope you can pull that off, because I think right now people would not think to take a holiday to Venezuela, but maybe in the next 5-10 years that'll change.
Yeah, no, I'm being more positive. I think is everything keep going the way it is going right now. You know, in a year or two, you know, we're gonna have more, because the problem is that as soon as we get rid of the political tension, and that's gonna be like, you know, that's what it is. It's like this is gonna be out, and then you're gonna feel more confident to go and share some time. So for the crimes are not gonna disappear, the poverty is not gonna disappear just from one day
sure.
to the other.
Yeah, it's gonna take time.
But just that release is gonna bring us a lot of change. And then, you know, and then like I say, it's a country with a lot of resources. So if this money go to the right hands and is distributed to help and to rebuild the country and the economy, it's a matter of, you know, it's not gonna be that long. I don't think it's gonna be that long. I mean, for the main goals, or if we for the Venezuela that we all have been dreaming to have all of our lives since I was a kid, that's gonna take more time. We need to actually think about all of the mistakes we made in the past, not to do them again, and really take care of Venezuela, take care of the people, like, you know, make it grow, make it, you know, we can be much more than we had before Chavez, way much more better.
All right, viva Venezuela.
Viva Venezuela, viva la libertad, y viva el pueblo venezolano, y
there you go.
Lo mejor a todos, y viva el presidente Guaidó.
Let's talk about Bohemian Rhapsody.
Next time we talk about Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, you can talk about it for a minute now, right? You really dug it, huh? You were talking about Rami Malek.
Yeah. Well, I'm an actor, so I'm a SAG member. I was happy I voted for him on the SAG Awards. So Rami, you know, my vote was for him. I really wish one day I can work with you. So I have the chance to even ask him a couple of questions at a screening. At a SAG screening they did on 42nd Street, the Regal Theaters. He's a wonderful actor, man, and I love what he did with Freddie Mercury. And people are complaining that it didn't reflect much about the AIDS and all the struggling of the gay people in the
80s. I really thought the AIDS was
And I
there.
Think they did a pretty good job in the movie that, first, it wasn't about Freddie Mercury only. It was about Queen, a tribute to Queen and the life of Freddie Mercury, but within the band. So I think they had a good balance on all of these situations. They show the history of the band and a lot of the aspects of Freddie Mercury's life that wasn't easy. You can see how it wasn't easy for him to go through certain moments in his life, but he was very strong and dedicated to his passion as a performance. He understood very well who he was. He was a performance, and he just went all the way, all the time, and put it out. So I respect that, and that was exactly how he got through all those bad times.
Well, and it culminates. No spoilers. Mm-hmm. If you don't know this, I don't know what to tell you, but it culminates in a concert video, essentially, yeah. That's reenacting Live Aid, which for rock historians, pop and rock historians, is considered to be the greatest, if not one of the greatest, live stadium performances of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the greatest live performances of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the story too. They're bringing you to that moment as this climax, and that brought Queen back for a while too. They were dead in the water,
yeah,
and that one performance brought them right back.
Yeah,
to the top.
They spent maybe like 4 years separate because Freddie Mercury conflicts. He, you know, he things got in his head, and you know, well, I mean, we're all humans. He made some mistakes in that moment, and he go away from his family. His family was Queen, his rock family, his music family. And when he understood that it was a big mistake. He went back, apologized.
Yeah.
And then after 4 years without even playing with each other, they
were blown
their practice for a couple of weeks or something, and they,
worth
they
seeing,
made this concert.
And I liked it twice as much as I thought I would. I mean, I heard the reviews were mixed, but that fans were loving it. And I thought it was a pretty fun movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it this masterpiece? No, but the performances. His performance is certainly masterful, and that was exciting to see because obviously with Mr. Robot, he's already an A-list guy, but this seals the deal, and it's super cool to see a career bloom like that, and what a great role. The thing, and we'll wind down here now, Jose, the thing I'm into and shared with Jose is this great album called Giles Corey by the band of the same name, Giles Corey, and it's this guy whose name escapes me right now, but I need to remember it. I think it's Dan Barrett, I think, if I'm not mistaken, but he has another band called Have a Nice Life, and they're kind of dark wave shoegaze, and Giles Corey is his American folk gothic outfit, and the album, I described it to you, Jose, earlier as music to a film that hasn't been made yet. That's how it sounds to my ear. So it's not something you'd put on at a party. Very moody, and it's the name, they take their name from Giles Corey, who was part of the Salem witch trials and who was killed as part of that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the way they killed him is they put stones on top of him. I think they put a door on top of him and then laid stones. And instead of repenting, he simply said, "More weight, more weight." So what a thing to name your band. And they only have one album at this point, but they're really, really great. So that's my little, hey, I love this. Very moody, very cool, very dark, very Americana. And, you know, on that note, Jose, do you have anything final to say to our listeners?
Yeah, no, after what you said about that kind of torture and weight to die, like, it's been like that for Venezuela.
Huh?
It's like more weight. And we were taking all this for 20 years, and we make it till this point. So right now is the moment, you know, we show how the strength we have, and we never stop fighting. And that I really respect, because I see other countries, you know, they're like, they give up on all this fight. And
I don't get the impression that, Venezuela is going to roll over. Yeah,
this is not the case of Venezuelan people. And I really respect that in the spirit of that. That strength, I really admire. After all we've been going through, people losing their families and kids and sons. And my grandma died last year, and I couldn't go and visit, you know, I didn't see her in 7 years. There's many other. I got a friend that was killed with the military and all of this stuff. I'm sorry. So yeah, just
don't
keep hanging in there. Keep hanging in there. We got this back. We got our country back, and things are gonna get. We're gonna get the country that we love.
You know, we're both young men. I think we'll live to see it. And hey, Jose. Mm-hmm. More weight.
More weight.
More weight.
More weight.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, man. Thank you. We'll be right back.